So the Jays came home. The Leafs are home. The Raptors are home. Feels like we're moving on here in society. It's a good thing. And we got a guy on the line who probably wishes he was at Fenway tonight. Or maybe game three of the ALCS was here at the Dome. I mean, better yet, why not host it? Here is the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. You can take away any uncertainty as to that statement.
Yes, I can imagine.
There's nothing. If you're not, I have a very mixed feeling. It's hard for me not to watch the postseason because I love the game of baseball, and it is absolutely painful for me to watch because I feel like we should be there and like we'd be making hay if we were there.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that thinking. I think a lot of Blue Jay fans feel the same way, and I think people league-wide felt the same way. How did you respond when you heard the news that the Yankees, I believe it was, it might have been the Yankees and the Sox, when they had the choice to either, you know, pick or choose who they were going to play in game 163, they wanted to avoid your team. How did you respond to that?
I agreed.
Yes. You thought it was a wise maneuver by them?
I thought they should want to avoid our team. I mean, we were playing extremely well. We were positioned well for a short series. And I think the one thing in both leagues, and I've had this conversation with people before. Look, our goal is to win a World Series, to bring a World Championship back to Toronto and Canada. But, you know, the goal before that is just get in. You know, just get in, because despite the fact that we'd like to all believe that the best team over 162 always wins the World Series, there is some randomness to a short series. There is some momentum that if you are playing your best baseball at that time of the year, or you're exceptionally positioned for a short series, that you can do really well in postseason. Now, you can't, you know, the beauty of baseball is with 162 games, you can't build for just that potential reality. But I do think if you just get in, a lot of good things can happen. And so, I think people didn't want to play us because we would have been a tough team in a short series.
Well, and as you said, you know, you're a baseball fan, you're a baseball lifer, so you can't be pulled away from the game. And the games have been spectacular. The championship series has started with a bang. I mean, even though the Braves are up 2-0, they've been great games, and 1-1 going back to Fenway on the American League side. Can you take us through your experience when you're watching these games, specifically, I guess, in the American League side of things, because you're more familiar with the Sox in Houston. President and CEO, fan, any rooting interest? I mean, what's it like watching a big ball game that doesn't include the Blue Jays?
I have to admit, last night I watched the season premiere of Succession instead of...
Yeah, that's getting a lot of love.
I've been waiting for a long time for that series to start back up again. So, listen, I think it is impossible not to watch through the lens of this is your job and your career, and you're thinking about, you know, players through that lens. But it's also impossible when games are being played, you know, between those hours at night, 7 to 10 here, or while a playoff game's going on. There also are moments where the fan in you, the reason you've made it your life's work, the things that, you know, continue to give you, you know, amaze you night in and night out when you see George Springer do some of the things he's capable of doing, when you see a player of Vladdy's age do things that no one in the history of the game has done before at that age. There are still things you look at when you watch playoff games, and particularly maybe that Dodger-Giants series, and just go, hey, this is what it's all about. And, you know, having been through postseason series and recognizing that the further you go in series and in the postseason, knowing what that feels like in your stomach for everybody involved, maybe less for players, but certainly for the front offices, you think, you know, that's how I want to feel. I don't want to watch it passively. I want to get back to having that pit in my stomach, those butterflies, that, you know, that feeling that every single thing matters at every moment.
With the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro, and I guess that's a segue into what could be a very active offseason where you try to put the pieces together to punch that ticket and give yourself a chance of going on a run. And he made a comment earlier today that we've already talked about extensively, and I'd like to get you to expand on it. You were asked about the idea of bringing back Ray and Simeon and Mats, and you said you'd like to sign them, but, quote, I'm not a believer you have to sign anyone back. I'm a believer that you have to get better, end quote. I said somewhat sarcastically, does that mean you're getting Scherzer and Trout? I mean, I think it's a Cy Young winner and a top five AL MVP that we're talking about here, and Semien and Ray in particular. So can you expand on that and what you mean by that? Because those two guys had phenomenal seasons here in Toronto.
Yeah, I just think front offices make bad decisions when they feel like, you know, this is what we have to do. This is the only way our offseason is a success. You know, you're talking about three guys that had the best years of their careers, and all of whom we appreciate as teammates, competitors, and people as well. And that we, so yes, we would love to have them back. But free agency is a two-way deal. It's not unilateral decision making. So geography will factor in, a host of other things will factor in, including people, other people competing for those players. What I believe deeply, and what I'm confident is, if you look at Ross and our baseball operations body of work, they'll find a way for us to get better. It may involve bringing one back or two back. It may involve a trade for another high caliber player in addition to bringing one back. It's going to be certainly some, continued progress of our own players. So something, some development organically, but we need to get a little bit better as a team, move from 91 to 92, 93, 94 wins. But, bringing all three back is not the only path to that. There are other ways to do that. Now, that's all I was saying. What's not acceptable is to say we don't get better next year. Right. What is not necessary to say we get better is that we sign all three guys back.
Well, and I think obviously quite reasonable to expect the guys we're talking about here to come back to earth a little bit, right? Like Robbie Ray, I think he's going to win the Cy Young. I don't think he'll be favored in Vegas to do it again next year. Marcus Semien just hit more home runs than any second baseman in history. I don't think he'll repeat that. Yet fans will look at it and say, how do you get better without that? And I guess what you're saying, Mark, is we'd love to have him and they'll still be integral pieces, but you need to be reasonable in terms of what you can expect if you do lock them in on long-term deals. Because chances are they're not going to do exactly what they did for the next 3-5 years, whatever that deal is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to do those things over right. 5 years, right? You're going to expect when you sign a free agent to a 5-year deal, you expect him to have some regression over that length of that contract. It's always a question of how fast and, from what level. But those guys are coming from elite levels. They make us better next year. Without a doubt, and we believe in those guys as people. Robbie Ray as a competitor, Marcus Semien, teammate, toughest guy we've ever seen, work ethic, plays every day. Steven Matz, maybe still upside with Steven. He keeps getting better, and a hard worker and a good person. So they're all dependable, reliable guys. Yes, when you sign guys off career years, are they going to continue having that? Even if they regress a little bit, that'd still be really good. I just am suggesting to you it can take different shapes, how the offseason unwinds. And there are different ways. We just don't want to get locked in any one path because we're not just making a decision yes or no on Marcus Semien. That's not the way it works.
Right, and obviously those deals are, right in front of your face in terms of time expiring at some point. In other words, they're free agents. If someone else signs them, they're not coming back. Where you're also dealing with a balancing act where you got guys on your own team who you have under team control that I'm sure their agents, if they haven't been calling, will be calling soon. And I'm curious how yourself and Ross are going to balance that, approach to guys like Ray and Semien, and then a guy like Teoscar who's 2 years out, and a guy like Vladdy or Bichette. How do you balance, current free agents with future guys that you really love and you want to keep around?
And that strikes at the core of kind of where you want to be. It's what I would call that is kind of the art of roster management, and that's, always kind of keeping an eye. You cannot make a decision in isolation of 1 year. You need to be cognizant of not just, where guys are going financially, but their ages, and you don't want the team to get all old at the same time. So you're balancing, ensuring that regardless of where you are in a competitive cycle, you're continuing to transition young players to the big leagues and give them opportunities to, to contribute, because upside exists in those young players, and they help you maintain some cost control of a roster as well. You're thinking about players in their prime as they go through arbitration and their salaries go up, and then the ones you want to retain as they head into free agency, and you're thinking about those veteran free agent players that bring so much, the desire to win, the experience. defense, along with dependable performance. So it's a balance. You know, to me, that strikes at the heart of what Ross and Joe Sheehan and Mike Mirov and Andrew Tinnis, these guys are going to be thinking about all the time, which is, you know, we're going to be not looking at just 2022. We're going to look at 23, 24, 25. And our goal is not just to win one time, but to ensure that we have an objective reason for our fans to believe each team that leaves spring training has a chance to win the World Series. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, and that's going to involve managing the roster, which is what you're describing.
Mark, I appreciate the comments, and it seems so complex to think about contracts and years ahead and guys getting injured. How difficult or how complex is it to get to just one point where you're like, this year, it's just about winning this year? I'm not thinking 5 years down the road about that contract, just strictly winning.
It's always that. I mean, I think it's always winning, but, you know, you're always just balancing decisions and balancing risks. So, you know, I think there are moments in time where you're saying, we feel like this club is so close in this moment, and it's usually more at a trade deadline that, you know, you're willing to overpay him financially, overpay him players, whatever that is, and you lunge a little bit. But I think, you know, at any point, if you just throw caution to the wind and say, we're not going to care at all about the future, that may be fine at that moment, but you're really doing it an injustice to the fan, a disjustice to the fans, because, you know, you're sacrificing and you're going to cause some cliff that you fall off. I just don't want us to fall off a cliff. I want us to be, you know, find the balance of being there every year. And this is, I guess, the one thing I'd say in response to that, you know, just get in. You know, like, I'm not talking about us building the perfect club, but building a very good club that has a chance to get in the playoffs every year.
We're chatting with Mark Shapiro here on Overdrive. You were asked about, you know, the stadium and the future of the Rogers Center or potentially a new park. And obviously those are details you'll be working on, and when you're ready to release the info, you will. But I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on the integration of gambling in pro sports, and specifically at the stadium. I have a vision. I think within the next few years, you're going to see sports books at the Dome. You're going to see them at Scotiabank Arena, at BMO Field. It's been in Europe forever. It's coming here. It's been legalized. This is where we're going. Where do you stand on this? And can you share your vision, if there is one, in terms of gambling integration into the fan experience down at the Rogers Center?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something, because it has to, there is a web of provincial and federal law that, you know, has to pave the way for that to be a reality here. You know, we've taken steps towards that, you know, recently, but not, you know, we still have a long way to go before it's, you know, in the vision that you're talking about. But I Right. do think that I do think we're headed in that direction. I do think that it's certainly an opportunity to engage a whole new, you know, class of sports fans that, you know, enjoy the game differently than maybe I enjoy it and think about it, and would give them the ability to both engage and follow. I think that baseball may represent, you know, some of the most wagering friendly, from people that have just, you know, watched the game for years and bet on whether the umpire is going to roll the ball and it's going to sit on the dirt or not on the dirt. You know, baseball's got thousands of opportunities to kind of wager within the game. So as long as it's done in a way that doesn't take away from anyone else's fan experience, doesn't diminish, you know, someone that may not enjoy the game that way, I think we need to always protect, you know, that part, and it does not compromise the integrity of our players or the game. Then I think it adds a new level of you know, fan and a new level of engagement.
Well, in terms of I guess the upgrades that are coming, you mentioned that there'll be a new, I guess, Jumbotron or big screen, you know, built and operating come opening day next year.
How much, and new lights, yeah.
Yeah, and new lights, okay. And how much room for improvement is there in the current structure of the Rogers Center? Like, where can your vision, where do your dreams stop, Mark, in terms of what you'd like to see?
I think, you know, they're limitless if we undertook a major renovation to Rogers Center, things that we've spent time and energy on over the last 4 years before the pause button was hit due to the pandemic. You know, so I think at some point, and what I said earlier today, and this is kind of to give you the, you know, the 2 minute overview, at some point, we're going to, in the long-term view of the Toronto Blue Jay organization, we're going to need to consider a large-scale renovation or a new stadium. You know, that at some point, our player experience and fan experience with the minor tweaks each year are going to still be outdated, and they're going to be a challenge for us from a business and a competitive perspective. Don't think that's now, but I think that that time is not too far away. Yet, in the interim, we continue to look at small things. There's brand new turf this year, a brand new sound system, brand new batting cages that are the best in all of Major League Baseball. So we're not just standing here waiting for a bigger vision to play out. We're continuing to address things on a small basis at both a fan and player experience level, all while understanding and knowing that at some point we're going to have to address the situation in a larger way. And so I would imagine in the next year, the planning part of that would ramp back up again.
So when you say you could be facing a competitive imbalance, do you mean in terms of the entertainment dollar? In other words, Torontonians deciding to spend money elsewhere, or from a player perspective, like pitching free agents?
Both.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. Yeah. You guys have probably already felt the positive repercussions of the new stadium and new setup down in Dunedin. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, state of the art at this point.
So. And even like Marcus Semien coming here and saying, hey, there's nothing you guys haven't thought of here. The batting cages are the best batting cages I've ever been around. So we still can't just accept, you know, it being bad and wait. We still need to think about little things we can do along the way. But there are some infrastructure limits to what we can do, you know, in the interim.
Sure. Well, we look forward to seeing how it all plays out, and you know, we can't wait for what should be an active offseason. Best of luck with it all, Mark. We always appreciate
you
finding time for us.
Great to be on. I look forward to talking to you guys later in the offseason.
Yep, you got it. We will. There he is, Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays.